that you're going to hold this over so people can go back and look at this and maybe weigh in that have more expertise on this than we do, or give us at least a few weeks to look at it and maybe send an email and take a position on it. So we would request that. I don't know if that's automatic.
It's certainly possible and certainly available in this case.
True. Okay, thank so you. That's our position. Thank you.
Claire, I think you're next.
Thank you very much. My name is Claire Carter. I'm at 6156 Southwest Nevada Court, Portland, Oregon. I'm here as a neighborhood representative from the Development Review Advisory Committee to testify in support of the proposed local transportation improvement charge initiative. I live in Maplewood neighborhood in Southwest. It has the lowest miles of streets with sidewalks in the Southwest area and ranks in the top three lowest neighborhoods in the city for miles of sidewalks. We have a big investment in the LTIC fund. In the past 5 years, Maplewood is a mostly residential neighborhood with many older homes located on large or double lots, and we've been a prime target for infill housing over the past 5 years. And over the past 5 years, we've had about 35 houses constructed, and only two built in the past year have had sidewalk improvements in front of them. As a neighborhood, we are not totally committed to sidewalks on every street. We like sidewalks on the higher traffic streets, of which we don't have many in our neighborhood, but also on our safe routes to school streets, which we do have in our neighborhood. This is kind of an example of how the LTIC might have, well, I don't know, it's of how the waivers have affected neighborhoods. We had two houses about 3 years ago that were built almost across the street from Maplewood Elementary School. The waivers were granted, no sidewalks were built, although this is a safe route, and it also is on the bus route and is one of the major kind of through routes in Maplewood neighborhood. Paved shoulders were put in by the developer, which was good, except that now the homeowners park their cars on the paved shoulders, and the children are kind of forced to walk on the white line, you know, to the school, which is almost across the street from where these two new houses are built. We really want to see some opportunities to get some good transportation and actually pedestrian improvements funded in our neighborhood. And then the other piece, too, is the LTIC funds are not inconsequential when you look at the potential for leveraging more improvements in the neighborhoods. The 35 houses in Maplewood would have generated about $840,000 at the current rate. And that, in if you wanted to go to some of the special funds that might be available for transportation improvements, could have leveraged as much as, $8 million, because the match for some funds is one, the local match is 1 to 10. Very good. So we've got an opportunity here that we just cannot afford to not go forward with. I'm going to skip forward. I have a couple of amendments I would like to proposed. The most important is this one, and it is for the Phase 3 scope of work, and that is the LTIC program is not just a neighborhood street program. I would like to see this reference change throughout the entire scope to a neighborhood transportation program, which will be much more inclusive and much more reflective of what the needs really are for these LTIC funds. Two, the fees need to be indexed to the cost of inflation and construction. Three, the cost for constructing transportation infrastructure is not equitable, as you've already heard a couple of times from other testimony. And that needs to be part of focus of the Phase 3 scope of work. And also, fourth, but maybe not last, is we need to look at ways to achieve economic parity in the use of these funds throughout the city. Little Maplewood, one of the smallest neighborhoods in the city could generate, because of its infill activity, as much as, you know, $840,000. There are some neighborhoods in the city which will not generate that kind of fund, but still have critical active transportation infrastructure needs. And I think that part of the phase three work needs to be to figure out how to adjust that that equity and the parity throughout the city in the application or the use of these funds. I really appreciate PBOT and the city's forward thinking on this. I think this is an absolutely great proposal that we have before us. We cannot afford to not make it go forward into phase three. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Claire. Thanks very much. And Tom, welcome.
Tom Karwacki, University Park Neighborhood Association Vice Chair and Chair of the Land Use Committee, also one of the members of the Portland Bureau of Transportation Advisory Committee. And on behalf of both of those groups, I am supporting the ordinance and the associated consulting contract. I've spoken with five different neighborhood associations and their boards and been part of this whole thing, and we've talked to a lot of the people about this. Proposed ordinance does fix a lot of the problems. That's why we need it. However, no ordinance is perfect in the first draft, and there are always separate situations where no one size doesn't fit all. The first problem that has not been identified so far, but you will be hearing later from the folks from East Columbia, is the drainage districts. And on the map, it's not included in an MS4 area, and it should be. And so the area around adjacent to the Columbia River, these drainage districts will restrict any potential development, sidewalks, et cetera. So therefore, any payment of things will never, ever be able to be used in those areas. So there's some real concerns there. I've offered three solutions. There is a fourth one. The drainage district has some language as well. Number one, you can define the way situation away like Captain Kirk or an economist does, and just eliminate that area, the drainage district areas, as being a road or anything else. You could also alternatively exempt them, and I provided language on that to not collect the fee until the study is done so that the study can do a little bit more look at this issue, or you could just simply tell the consultant to look at it. There is an insufficient cost recovery issue because of the inflation index. So, of course, having an inflation, I understand that that is going to be part of it. However, that's not in the code itself. And so that's why there's always a concern that a lawyer might argue that it's not available to have an index unless it's actually spelled out in the code. So I've added some suggestion solution number B, which may also consider inflation after actual cost. Some people would argue, I understand the BPOT thinks that they have the authority to do that. However, we also have a solution C, which affects Amanda Fritz's, Commissioner Fritz's proposal, which is the payment of a local transportation infrastructure charge and issuance of a waiver of remonstrance will satisfy the requirements of the subsection. So there's some specific language there as well. The use of the funds, quite frankly, nobody trusts BPOT. And so this is a major issue. I've talked about doing only 75% into the coalition. People look at me and take my head off and say that it should be 100% within the coalition territory. But there's a real issue of to when these funds are going to be available and whether they're going to be people will see things. So I think that it's a matter of trust that we actually do and solve this solution. And my amendment that I've suggested, and I think that Southwest Neighbors and some other groups has done as well, is found in that solution, which is that the LTIC must be spent within the geographic area in which they've been collected. And it spells it out. And by doing that here, rather than waiting for the study to do, will solidify and narrow the scope of the study so that some of what Dan was talking about, but it will also provide it so that fewer people will have a problem waiting. You're going to collect the money and we'll wait and hope that we get the results out of the study. You can actually do that right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Okay, we have others that want to speak on this item.
Gary Clifford, Paul Grove, and Martha Johnson.
Okay, we'll take testimony on this and then have council discussion, just a process check. We're also going to then take up next our resolution, our four-fifths resolution about North Carolina, and then take a lunch break. So anybody who's waiting for other council calendar items, We'll come back to those at 2.
Actually, Mayor, Andrew Abbey says that he needs to, he can't stick around until after 2, so he asks that the LID issue
be resolved.
Okay, all
right, we'll do that one as well. That shouldn't take long. Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Clifford. I live on Floma Road in the East Columbia neighborhood. And what I'm presenting is a proposed amendment that is worked out between our neighborhood organization leadership and the Multnomah County Drainage District. Problem is, as most ordinances, that one size doesn't always fit. And we're saying that because we're in a managed floodplain, the addition of impermeable surfaces, such as paved sidewalks and parking lots, work directly against the mission of the Multnomah County Drainage District to manage our stormwater. As you go through our neighborhood, you'll see the open ditches, the sloughs, the massive pumps that pump millions of gallons of water that's all paid for by our neighborhood directly to the drainage district, not the city. And what we're proposing is, in consultation with the drainage district, these words as amendment. In that some Portland neighborhoods exist within a managed floodplain whose characteristics require immediate removal of stormwater to prevent local funding, the LTIC should be amended to exclude collection of the transportation improvement charge where it is deemed by the local drainage district to create adverse conditions on the existing drainage system. The rationale for this amendment is the requirement that stormwater be immediately dealt with is to prevent local flood damage. Methods of removal include absorption by permeable ground, mechanical pumping, and local containment or ponding. Adding impermeable surfaces that collect and concentrate stormwater works against the safe and efficient management of a managed floodplain. Thus, the standard suite of impermeable street improvements is unlikely ever to be made, so money for them should not be collected in advance. I strongly urge you to your staff to work with the drainage district and take into consideration the uniqueness of our situation. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Paul, I think you're next.
Mayor Hells, members of the council, Paul Grove with the Portland Home Builders. I will be brief. We're here to testify in support of the proposal. You heard from one of our members, Justin Wood, who served as part of the stakeholder work group, and really appreciate the work of the stakeholder work group to try to arrive at a very balanced and thoughtful outcome on the issue. Internally, we did have some very robust discussions, in particular around the cost of the fee and what the waiver would look like or not look like moving forward. And those did present concerns to our membership. However, and as has been alluded to it oftentimes on this today, we're talking about trade-offs. And that cost, in terms of having a higher degree of certainty in the process and getting things through in a more timely fashion, was ultimately of great interest and benefit for our membership. And so recognizing that trade-off and understanding that degree of certainty in the process moving forward was something that appealed to our folks and ultimately allowed us to arrive at that decision to be supportive of the proposal. So with that, I thank you for the opportunity.
This is not cheap, but the certainty obviously has a value, so I get it. Thank you. Hey, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, Martha Johnston. This is my personal response to this proposal listed on today's agenda. Please hear my plea. I'm writing this to extend my personal grievance on our lack of understanding on the future impacts of the LTIC going before City Council today. Although I must admit I've had a lot of answers to questions that weren't answered before, I'm very disappointed that the Neighborhood Task Force member who was, as far as I can tell, acting as our representative for our neighborhood interest, did not have an appearance to have an agenda presence with our North Portland Neighborhood Association groups, or was not elected or by or appointed by consensus by the North Portland Land Use Group or its chairs. The working group did not pursue a citywide mailing to the affected parties or a public discussion on this most cronyist proposal. A done deal, as I'm being told. People realize that for the purported 17% of lots without sidewalks or even streets, this local transportation improvement charge is proposed at $600 per linear feet. So a person with an R5 corner lot with 150 foot of frontage would have to pay $90,000, not the $5,000 to $50,000 purported, into this PBOT slush fund for future improvements that will not likely to be used and are, in fact, disqualified from being used on the street in which it originated. For the East Columbia neighborhood, for which the smallest lots in our post-Vanport area would be R10, R20, RF, this could be several hundred thousand dollars payable on permitting before you can build your home. Many of our citizens don't want sidewalks due to the horses, recreationalists, abundant wildlife that prefer wide, soft shoulders. Also, our stormwater drainage issues complicate the build-out of such structures. And the other option would be to build without the benefit of economies of scale that a whole street improvement can provide its owners and the benefits of an LID construction financing at a favorable rate over a 20-year period. Without these appropriate public benefits, this required building indeed would be an onerous burden as well. That's why 12,000 to 16,000 homeowners have appealed to the city and been awarded waiver of remonstrances, which provide for a yes on participation in future financial development costs through the LID process. This is a rational approach which should be looked at first for any needed improvements if it is not providing the streets and sidewalks. An ordinance would quite possibly remove sustainability of all the economic value from the private properties targeted. How can it be said that by adding, say, $100,000 of development cost to a single residential lot, that it will not have an effect on the affordability? If purchasing a home from a developer, does one really think that a developer will not pass every dollar of cost and then some onto the cost of the building? It obviously will. If safety alone is the factor driving this horrendous confiscation of funds, then let's get busy with an elected or consensus-appointed representative from North Northeast Portland to develop a full-body discussion and perhaps consensus that might have a chance at a fair say. Just to let you know, I have a corner R10 lot for sale, and I'm greatly affected by this LTIC. I've been saving for it all my life. My husband and I have owned it 38 years. This is our retirement. Now, whammo, we got to have a streets and sidewalks on an area that has no streets and sidewalks are very, very few. I only found out by chance, no mail out to the 7,000 or so affected owners about to lose this important tool for street and street development if desired by the citizens on that street. Let the citizens on that street make the choice if they want to do an LID. That's what it's all about. Oh, did I mention the issue of if your house burned down? Would your insurance cover the rebuild cost of this charge? It's not a permit fee, right? I've talked to several insurance agents, and they are not quite certain. You better take out increased code insurance, increase amount of insurance, because if this burns down, they're willing to pay the $50,000 in permit fees, but will they be willing to pay a $150,000 charge?
I think they said it doesn't count in that instance, that it wouldn't be.
That's what I've heard today, but I didn't see it in the ordinance.
Thank you.
Please
you
don't throw the baby out
the rest
with the bathwater.
If you'd like to give testimony in writing, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, you've raised some good issues. We appreciate it. Thank you all. Okay, anyone else wants to speak on this item? Okay, so, Commissioner, this has been a first reading. We've got work to do on amendments. How would you like to proceed?
Well, we might have amendment language to present, but the city attorney's office has said that since the waiver of remonstrance amendment is a substantive amendment, they prefer us to hold on to that until next week. What I'm hoping that we can do is say that this has been the hearing on every other aspect of this ordinance, and that next week we'll present an amendment specifically on that language, and we'll take testimony only on that amendment, not on anything else.
I think that sounds reasonable to me. I think this hearing has ventilated the issue. There's obviously technical work still to do. So,
I have multiple things. So, okay. Actually, given that we have other folks waiting to testify and it's lunchtime, and
so you want to? Could we?
I'd like to just continue
and bring staff back for more thorough discussion. That's
because I have potentially another amendment.
Since an issue was raised by a member of the public, can I just clarify one thing with staff? So. We had a letter from our friends in the University Park Neighborhood Association and some others about stormwater cost recovery. And could you just clarify what is contemplated within the $600 per per foot proposal.
For the record, Kruger with Peabot. The $600 per foot was based on an averaging of a number of projects that include all elements that go into the street improvement, street trees, stormwater, sidewalks, ADA ramps, street lights, pavement, the rock below the pavement. All those elements were put into the mix and averaged to come up with that cost.
Okay, so we're going to, I think it's going to be useful as we go forward to just clarify that and give folks a breakdown, because it's been raised by some of our most engaged partners. So I want to make sure that's clear and that we're not, in addition, proposing shifting any new cost to BES as part of this proposal. So thank you, Kirk.
Yeah, so Commissioner Novick, I think because of both the hour and the complexity of this, that continuing this hearing is a good idea. I want to reassure you, though, however, that I know there might be a fear that this is going to bog down. I think quite the contrary. I think you've cut the Gordian knot of an issue that has been around for a very long time. There's work to do, and there's subsequent phases of work to do, and there are technical issues like this issue about the drainage districts that need to be addressed. But I think you have finally found the solution to a problem that we've been talking about for decades, and I'm very enthusiastic. Personal note, as somebody who used to wait for the bus at the corner of 35th and Vermont amongst the mud puddles, I can certainly sympathize with the need to get on with this.
Mayor, I just want to, given what you just said, I want to make it clear that I do not think that we're going to address every issue, including the issue related to drainage districts, next week.
Not next week, no.
I mean, I think that our goal here is to pass something that stops what we're doing now and starts doing something somewhat smart and work out a lot of details later.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I understand the phased approach that you're taking. So we'll take up the amendment next week on the subject of LIDs and perhaps another amendment next week.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard some good suggestions for amendments today, too, that I don't want to belabor them now, but I think some of Mr. Karwicki's suggestions.
Yeah, those are good.
I am concerned about the drainage district, about an appeal process, so, I want to have the opportunity to delve in those, but not now.
So let's continue this, then, for a week. Is that enough? I think that's enough time, right?
Yeah.
So let's continue this for a week. Council will return to the item and take up proposed amendments. Based on council members' own ideas and the testimony we've heard today.
Are we going to do this on a time certain, Mayor, or just a regular agenda?
What's next week look like, Carla?
We're already going to 11 o'clock with time certains.
Okay. So we'll have to put it on the regular agenda then.
Okay, the afternoon is available.
Let's put it on the afternoon as a time certain.
2 p.m.
Okay. How's that sound, Steve? Does that work? Sure. Okay.
Can I just toss some wrench into the plan. So next week I'm traveling to Kansas City for the Community Streetcar Coalition.
Okay.
So my team would be here without me if you want to delay it for a week after that.
Do that. 2 weeks?
I hate to do that.
It's nodding, so I...
Kurt doesn't want to do this by himself. All right, we're not going to do that to Kurt. So 2 weeks from now, how does that look, Carla?
We have a crazy day. I would stick with next week, Mayor.
All right.
Okay. We've got a very talented team here. Next person up.
All right. We'll continue this for 1 week to 2 p.m. time certain next Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good work.